Oh my god, an insane goal!
The game's gone mad.
Hello and welcome back to The Game's Gone Mad with me, Olivia. As always, we're talking about the week's biggest football news. So this week, that's the big spending of the Lilywhites, a huge announcement for the Blues, and a new signing for the Red Devils.
The game's gone mad.
This week, I am joined by Patrick Van Straten.
Hey.
And Zach Jalab, how are you?
Not too bad,
welcome
thank you.
Back. Welcome back to The Game's Gone Mad,
Thanks
Zach.
For having us.
Thank you for having me.
Is no worries. It is. You're once again filling in for Pete, who's
Dorman,
once
who's
again
always
on holiday.
Yep. To be honest,
he's actually finishing
I'm
on holiday.
Either on level with the same amount of appearances or had more.
I think you might be ahead of Dorman now.
I'm not sure.
Shouldn't it be every time Dorman's on?
He doesn't even go here.
Right, let's move on to the very first topic, which is...
Put your phone on
Tottenham's.
Flight safe, God. Jesus Christ, put it on Do Not Disturb.
I just can't help being so popular.
Why? Did you get the big phone? Or
no,
does it
this
just look
is just
big
the
in
iPhone
your hand?
10. It just looks huge in my tiny
the iPhone
tiny.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, is that the big one? But it's not.
It's the iPhone X. What? It's called the X, not a 10.
It's a 10.
Jesus
the
Christ.
Mine is the same size as yours. Mine just looks bigger in my
yeah,
hand.
Yeah, it's like an optical illusion.
This podcast is sponsored by Apple.
Yeah, it is a normal size. Sorry, I had to check.
Right.
I didn't believe it.
It looks small.
It looks so big.
That's class.
It looks so...
That's quality.
Our first topic this week is that Tottenham have paid €65 million for Lyon midfielder Tanguy Ndombele. The 22-year-old will sign a 5-year deal and is due to undergo a medical in the next few days. Patrick, for any listeners who haven't been watching much of Ligue 1, how would you describe him?
Tanguy Ndombele is 22. He's just coming off his second season with Lyon. Came to them from Amiens, as I recall. And he is pretty much the perfect candidate for reinforcing that Tottenham midfield. Loads of defensive work, about 4 tackles and interceptions a game, I think, and a ton of dribbles. So really
yeah,
4.3
good. Dribbles per 90.
Wow, is it that
attempted.
Many?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's about 3 succeeded. So
yeah.
Success rate's reasonably high, but he's just amazing at moving the ball through that central zone. He's also a good passer. He's pretty two-footed, but fundamentally, he knows where to be. He's intelligent enough to know which role he needs to be playing at different points. And what they've needed for a while now is somebody who has the legs to get around that midfield and can also run through the centre of the park. They haven't had someone who can do both since, I'd say, the Moussa Dembélé of 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And Ndombele looks like the perfect replacement in that regard. Plus,
shares
incredibly young. This is a guy who, like, back in January, we were saying, probably the ideal signing for Real Madrid, probably the ideal signing for Manchester City. And now it looks like he's going to Spurs.
Yeah, £65 million.
Yeah.
Daniel Levy's absolutely smashed it again.
Yes.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know what he does if he sits in that boardroom and just doesn't listen to them unless they say the figure he wants, or just be an absolute bitch all the time about it. But he is fantastic. I do apologise for swearing. He does it all the time. Every deal. He gets Dele Alli to sign £100,000 a week when he's probably meant to be earning a lot more than that. Same with Harry Kane, etc., etc. Lloris. And then gets him to sign these extensions and not sell the players. It's been ridiculous. Though he also hasn't bought a player in a year and a half, so...
Not since Lucas Moura, and I just dropped the pen. Right, I'm having an absolute nightmare. So, Patrick, you mentioned that he's kind of the perfect fit for the Tottenham midfield.
Yeah.
Who do you see him playing alongside? Do you think it'll be a midfield three with Winks and Sissoko, or is he going to be played deeper or more attacking?
To be honest with you, I'm really not sure. Like,
lots of options.
The only thing Winks does really is ball progression. Like, he can move forward a bit and he can pass forward a bit, but mostly against lower level sides, he's not been amazing against the bigger teams. I think
you need to give him time though. I think he's a really good midfielder, and they don't have a player like him.
You stand by this opinion quite
I
badly.
I really think Harry Winks is a really
but if
good
his
player.
But if you've got Ndombele, I don't know why you'd say, oh, well, let's make sure Winks gets time, you know, to progress the. If their job is to progress the ball in the midfield, just get Ndombele to do it. He's just better at it. Like, he's also more defensively sound. He's also quicker. You know, he's also more creative.
Don't you think they could play with both of them though, and have Winks play as a deeper, like, kind of playmaker, and then Ndombele higher up the pitch?
But then who defends in that midfield? Like, Winks isn't a good defender. Ndombele is a good defender, but he's not the primary defender at Lille. Like, bear in mind, Lyon have mostly played a three-man midfield with Aouar and Toussaint. And Aouar does a decent amount of defensive work as well, but Toussaint is a pure defensive midfielder. So, in a way, I'd actually... I want to see Ndombele be great, and the best way to do that is to play him alongside an out-and-out defensive midfielder, which means probably playing him alongside Dier, because I think Wanyama's legs have gone. I don't get the beef with Eric Dier. Like, Eric Dier has issues as a player, but it's also because what tends to happen with these young English players is they turn up, they do one job really, really well, and then everyone says, oh, he's going to be amazing. Yeah. Like, now we should get him to do, like, oh, he's a good defensive midfielder. He's going to be like Busquets or whatever. And then teams start to try and give him more responsibility. And he gets... So with Dier, it was like, oh, Dier's going to be like an amazing, you know, great passer in the heart of midfield.
Do you remember the Euros?
He's not, he's just a defender.
In the Euros of 2016, this was the problem with Dier. Everyone expected... And he saw that free kick. And everyone was like, oh my God, he's just insane central midfielder. Dier is a centre-back that's been put into a CDM position and is great at defending.
Yeah.
And this is, as you said, he's perfect for Ndombele.
I'm fine with that. Like, if you want to play Winks and Ndombele, you probably should play someone like Dier with them. Mm-hmm. Like, but to be honest, I'd probably also
you're not gonna
try
play just
get...
two in defensive midfield.
If you play two in midfield, like, you can, then I'd probably get rid of Winks and play Ali instead. Like, because I'd rather play Ali in the deep role.
I'll be very surprised they're not playing 4-2-3-1 next season.
I think it depends what happens to Eriksen. Like, we just have no idea what happens.
But
to
I think Eriksen goes and they bring in Lo Celso. And then they've also got... So,
if they bring in Lo Celso, that's mental. In that case, that's all the more reason to play someone like Dier, because Lo Celso this season has moved further forward the whole season long. Like 0.5 expected goals and assists per game. Like, and Dembele... And Ndombele is really good at moving forward and like running through the centre of the park.
If they keep Eric, I thought basically the deal to get him in basically was Ndombele. I just couldn't say it for some reason. To get him in was the fact that Eriksen was going to leave, because there was still the issue of the finances.
It feels like they're spending money that they expect to get from somewhere.
Exactly.
But they must have a ton of money lying around because they haven't spent for
where
two windows.
Where would Eriksen go though?
Well, exactly.
Real Madrid. I mean,
will they buy him now?
If they can't get Pogba, they might.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, he's...
But you know what they should do? They should skip and go straight to Ndombele.
I mean, he's also the cheap alternative, right, to Pogba. As in, he's 100 mil. 100 mil, he's yours. For someone with 1 year left in his
more.
1 year left in his contract, isn't it? 100
if
mil,
Spurs
he's
get
yours.
Rid of him, and they bring in Lo Celso and Ndombele, it will be absolutely staggering work.
So the other targets that Poch has this season are Lo Celso, Zaniolo, and Sessegnon, and Van der Beek.
Mate, it's
well, and
sick.
Jack Clarke looks like he's done.
Yeah,
I'm not too sure about Jack Clarke. Do you mind giving more for me and I guess the audience, if anything?
He's a really young winger, you know, who like broke through in the Championship this season, and his expected goals numbers look really good. He looks pretty quick and creative. Like, he's extremely young. I think that this is just a sensible move. Like, this is what Tottenham were doing in the first couple of years of Pochettino, right? Fair. When they picked up Dier, when they picked up Ali. Yeah. Like, I think that this is just... There's no loss to be had in that situation. I wouldn't go for Zaniolo, though.
Do you think that these acquisitions, if they can make... Say they sign Lo Celso as well. Is that going to take Tottenham to the next level?
They need a backup striker. You can't... As good as Harry Kane... I mean, as good as Harry Kane is, and of course, I know you can play Son there, you need another striker in case Harry Kane gets injured, which wouldn't be that much of a surprise anymore with how recent they've been every single year. Especially when it keeps happening as well with the last couple of games to go of the season, arguably sometimes the most important games.
It takes a long time to come back from them as well.
Indeed. And then there was 1 year...
They could drop like 20 mil on just a young forward prospect.
Yeah, I think that's not the worst shot.
Because also, you do always have Son. And actually, you have Ali. I think Ali could play in a sort of false nine role as well.
That'd be interesting. That would actually be well
interesting. They do need to think about defender too, right? Because like... Yep. A team could just come in and say, we will have Alderweireld for 25 million euros.
But
and that's
like
worrying.
Because it's only... is it just July? Because it's only 1 month in his contract.
Mate, your guess is as good as mine.
It's only 1 month. It's either June or July in his contract where this can happen. Okay. And
presumably July, because
the window's closed. So... But I've also seen comments from Adavira where he kind of seems like he's happy to kind of stay at Spurs.
I'm sure he is happy to stay, but it's more that like Spurs don't have any guarantee that he'll
stay.
Yeah,
true.
So it is just July, then as late as like the last day of July, when there are under 2 weeks till the window closes, Liverpool could come in and say, well, you know, we didn't get De Ligt, and you know, what if Van Dijk gets injured? I tell you what, 25 million for Alderweireld.
That's the worst.
And then we'll win another Champions League.
Champions League.
Yeah, and he'll go and he'll get paid more money. So, I mean, Spurs need to think about that, need to think about backup striker. But I do think that those midfield signings push Spurs out of the sort of mini league of Arsenal, Chelsea, United into the mini league
Big
of City
table.
And Liverpool. Yeah. Like, I don't think they'd win the league. I don't think Liverpool will win the league next season, but it would mean that the top three would be sort of nailed on, and then it would be the other three tussling it out for fourth place, which at the moment you probably say would be between Arsenal and United.
Yeah, I mean,
probably depends. Chelsea's kids might just land and blow
up. We're moving on to them in a bit, aren't we?
So we are indeed. We'll leave it to that. But before we move on to Chelsea, I wanted to talk to you about what type of transfers you thought could take you to winning the Champions League, because obviously Tottenham were in the final, they're strengthening their side this window, but we've seen Neymar go to PSG and he's put up some staggering statistics. It's more than a goal a game, a goal contribution a game across the Champions League and the league for the two seasons he's been there,
if you're banging in and so many in the league, then
across both.
Okay.
So
yeah, but they just score a lot in the group stage, don't they? And then they come up against, and they're actually, like Chelsea this season.
He actually has been injured for both Champions League stages
around the time of the Rio Carnival.
He's so injury, I mean, sure.
And we've seen Ronaldo go to Juve and Mr. Champions League could only get them to the quarters.
That was great.
So if it isn't signing a huge marquee player like that, what transfers can clubs take to
managers.
Take them to the level?
Yes. Managers. Mm-hmm. Your managers like Pochettino, Klopp, Pep Guardiola, to be honest, Sarri at Juve, I wouldn't be too surprised. These are the guys that are going to get the best out of your mediocre players. A Cristiano Ronaldo or a Neymar can do something special on the day. However, what I would take over anything, overtaking one player, I would take an 11-man squad of players who are going to fight for you, who are going to perform your system right, and a system which can defeat the opposition over hoping Cristiano Ronaldo is going to score a header like he did against Atletico Madrid.
We live in a world now where people say that Moussa Sissoko is a good player and Jorginho Wijnaldum is a good player. Mm. And I'm sorry, but neither one of them is. what they are is moldable, adaptable
and
players.
I think they listen.
Under the right coach.
Yeah.
And their coaches are incredible. And because they listen and and can understand what they're told, and can perform tactical roles intelligently, they become useful players.
Yeah.
Whereas, a lot of other clubs, they're just we'll just buy this guy. I think with Juve, it made a bit of sense, but with Juve, it sort of destabilised the whole team and there were bigger issues. Yeah. But generally speaking...
Neymar destabilised PSG as well.
But also, I think PSG got unlucky. They got unlucky when they lost that 6-1 game against Barca. Barca were not that good and PSG were not that bad. PSG got through to the second round of the Champions League year on year, and every time what happened, they played Barcelona, Real Madrid, Barcelona... then this year, played Man United.
Again, unlucky.
And got unlucky with VAR. So, don't get me wrong, they shouldn't have been in that position where they could have got unlucky. However, I think luck is a big part of it. Luck is an enormous part of it, who you come up against. Liverpool last season had a really easy run to the final, but this season had a tougher run. Over the course of that year, they made themselves prepared to face a tougher run. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to do is say, okay, we got to the final this year, but it was against the odds. How do we make sure next year that the odds are with us?
Yeah.
And those are the players you sign.
Yeah, and having a good squad depth as well is arguably one of the most important thing nowadays.
Yes.
If you have a
well, except for Spurs, apparently.
yeah, very true, very true. But that again,
and
a bit of luck as well, right? Because squad depth is I mean, we spoke about it before, where essentially. You can offer players so much game time when you're in all these domestic competitions and the Champions League. There's so many minutes up for grabs that you can actually get a few decent players to play up front or to play midfield, wherever it is. And you can have quality no matter at what stage you are within the year, even if you have a few injuries, even if you have, even if you do get further in the competitions. There's so many more minutes now that squad depth is so important, unless you're Spurs.
We've said that Neymar and Ronaldo haven't made the difference, but then would you say that Van Dijk has? Should people be looking at defenders?
But look, Liverpool had the right front line, right? They had Salah, they had Firmino, they had Mane. That was perfect. The midfield, sure, was okay. They brought in Keita, he was very good. They brought in Fabinho, fantastic. He's helped out a lot defensively. Van Dijk and Alisson, arguably even more so, were the reasons, your average day Joe knew they were the problems. They needed better defenders and they needed a better keeper. And Liverpool did such fantastic business to just go out there. If you think about that, they got Van Dijk now for, was it 75 million?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
absolute steal.
And we've seen, obviously, De Ligt now is going to be going for some big money. Do you think the defenders are going to kind of be matching the prices of strikers?
Which historically hasn't happened. Like a pretty limited striker will still be expensive.
Yeah.
Do you not think it's
a limited defender will not be expensive? Defender, like a defender needs to be, like, if you're going to be an expensive defender, they're expected to be like physically imposing, quick, ball playing, like everything.
Yeah.
And there are a limited number of players who are like that. I mean, in Van Dijk's case,
very good point.
You can't really, the fact that Van Dijk was expensive and De Ligt will be expensive, I don't think you can necessarily extrapolate too much from that, because De Ligt is an unusual talent in that he's so young and is already a useful centre back. And Van Dijk, I mean, there's a guy called Lucas Tank who writes for Spielverlagerung, like the German tactics website, and he has his own blog, like, where he does like teams of decades and teams of the season, and like, it's interesting because he's so intelligent and knows so much about tactics. And he said that this season from Van Dijk, he thought was the best season he'd seen from a defender since he started watching football seriously 13-14 years ago. And this is a guy who like goes back and will watch like 20 games from like the 1969-70 season, so you can check out how good like Santa Maria was playing in the Real Madrid backline. So like so I was like, this is so that was quite interesting to me. And it is hard to see where Van Dijk's mistakes were. Occasionally goes to sleep, but I mean, like, a great season is not a season where you make no mistakes. So I don't know, I would not necessarily think, well, people spent 75 mil on Van Dijk, like, I guess defenders are worth that now. I'd be like, Van Dijk was worth that, like, let's not go wild.
Right, let's move on to our second topic, Zach.
Ooh, bet it's something to do with the colour blue.
It is indeed. I don't know how it hasn't happened yet. But Derby have now given Chelsea permission to speak to Frank Lampard, their manager, over a deal that would see him replace Sarri at Stamford Bridge.
I can't wait for Frank start the bounce. Seriously, Frank start the bounce.
The thing is though, that the attitude towards this has changed just from time. When this was first suggested, everyone was like, he's got no experience, he can't do it. But now everyone's like thought about it for a bit. They're like, oh, I love Frank. Yeah, let's have him.
No, but I think the attitude has changed because Sarri's gone, right? Like, I was there where I was like, if we can keep Sarri, I would rather keep Sarri. Mm-hmm. Now that Sarri's gone, it's like, one, who else do we bring in? And two, it's like, we're in a transfer ban season, like, why not give it to him? Like, who would want to join us? Like, he's got the potential to, you know, maybe, you know, grow within this season. He doesn't necessarily have as high expectations as he normally would.
Yeah, do you think that because he is Frank Lampard, Mr. Chelsea, do you think the Chelsea fans are kind of going to give him a bit of a pass? They're not going to put on the high expectations they had.
No matter what happened, unless we got relegated, but even if we were to finish...
What about, like, if you finish in the bottom half?
If that was to happen, then, I don't think Chelsea fans would be like they were to Sarri or to, like, some other managers. They'd be annoyed, sure. They may even boo. But then, no, I don't think anyone would probably be as, like, harsh as they were to Sarri, because, as you said, it is Frank Lampard. Like, no matter what happens to Frank Lampard in his managerial time at Chelsea, if he does join, touchwood, he will always be a legend.
As a player,
maybe not so much Frank. As a manager.
Not super Frank.
Super Franky.
It's going to be an interesting year, though. Like, I really, really can't wait. More for the fact of just to see what happens. Like, to see the youngsters like play. Because I'll be so surprised if he doesn't play the youngsters. Like, in my head, I think he's going to play a 4-2-3-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, he likes a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
So we'll see what exactly happens. But like, Jorginho seems set to stay at Chelsea, so maybe it's going to be a Kante Jorginho CDM partnership, which could be like crazy good. You never know. And then, you know, you've got Pulisic, who's just joined, you've got Hudson-Odoi, you've got Loftus-Cheek, you've got Tammy Abraham, you've got Batshuayi, you've got Mason Mount. Like, Bakayoko's probably coming back, though. I'd be very surprised if he gets in the squad. Like, there's so many possibilities. Bakayoko is a useful player, but I just don't see Bakayoko getting in front of Kante or Jorginho for the CDM spot. Like, the defensive work is done by Kante.
That's a fair point.
Jorginho does all the rest for the passing,
right? Unless Frank
right?
doesn't like Jorginho.
Yeah, that could be a possibility. Unless he wants extra defensive work. We'll see. Fingers crossed he's okay next season. Like, I thought he was quite unfortunate this season, to be honest. I think more than ever this season is actually probably one of the perfect seasons for him to join, because he does has the excuse.
I don't think he'd be getting the role if they didn't have a transfer ban.
Yeah, because it's more attractive then, right? If you can come,
you can go for Allegri.
Yeah,
they can't get anyone else.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. You can buy whatever player you want. There is arguably bigger issues of, like, no one quite knows is what's happening with Roman Abramovich. Like, there's rumours he's going to sell the club. Now there's rumours he's extremely happy Frank's coming back and he's more, you know, we won the Europa League, so he's more excited about that kind of stuff. It's going to be a weird year for Chelsea, and I just think...
Do you think you're going to look at this season as a transition year, like Lampard filling in while you're in a bit of a struggle?
I mean, I thought...
Or is this the start of using all the young players, getting in a young manager and having for the first time in a bajillion years a stable manager at Chelsea?
I think for me it's the latter, mainly because I thought Sarri was the transition year. I thought, okay, this is where Chelsea are going. Here, we're buying Jorginho, we're going to try and play this attack of football, we're changing our way of football, and now we've kind of gone, although yeah, I think we'll probably still try to play attacking football because they're the players that we have in our squad. With Frank Lampard, now we can kind of be like, okay, we've spoken so much about Chelsea's youth academy. Let's finally try and use it.
Realistically, a season isn't going to be long enough for Lampard to turn Chelsea around using a young squad. But do you trust Chelsea to actually give him three, four seasons when they're not going to have a transfer ban anymore?
Frank Lampard has minimum 2 years. Even if the first year goes horribly wrong, he has another season.
Really?
One for his time at Chelsea, and two, just because he can literally go to you, I couldn't buy any players. What do you want me to do with 16-year-old this
guy off
the
bench? I agree. I think if Lampard has a terrible season, I'm not going to judge Lampard.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I think
the board won't either.
Yeah, I know, but there's a difference in, oh yeah, you've had a bad season. And then there's a difference in actually having a manager who can come in and with like experience winning the league if they have Frank Lampard to, you know, sail them over troubled waters of a transfer ban.
Yeah.
But then you could have Allegri come in next the following season and they'd be like, oh, we could stick out with
Lampard. If I was Frank Lampard, I don't think you join Chelsea unless you're guaranteed to be the future manager.
I think you do, because you're Frank Lampard. No. You've got such an emotional attachment to that club. If they come running and ask you to coach them, you're going to do it.
Sure, but you go in under the expectation of, okay, but you guys like are going to give me time here. You can't be like,
yeah. I think you will have asked for it.
I think obviously you would ask for it, but like, have none of you seen Chelsea's managerial?
But none of our managers, apart from Di Matteo, have been
expecting him to get a five-year stint.
None of them, Frank,
and Di Matteo. But managers
can hope so.
But managers, Di Matteo, like, predated
exactly
Abramovich as well.
But also, managers don't get 5 years anymore. Like, that's not how it works anymore.
I know, but you've just said you think Frank Lampard's going to be there in the long term to fix them.
So long term for me is three years. Like, okay, well, yeah, that's long term.
So you do think he'll be there for like 3 years? Is that long enough?
It depends, right? Like, it's so hard. Yeah, exactly. Give him two, reassess and see what happens. Like, okay, say here he gets top six football, or he gets top six. That's fantastic. That's a great achievement. Again, sorry for swearing. second season, he gets top four. He gets like fifth place. Again, he's absolutely fine, I think.
How will we get top six playing young players?
I mean,
because the young players are still good.
We haven't got Eden Hazard, sure, but we've still got the same, like, apart from Eden Hazard, which is probably the reason we got Champions League football, we've got a squad good enough to get Europa League football, no matter what manager you have, you can go from third to sixth,
quite comfortably. Like, you've still got Kante, you've still got Jorginho,
Frank Lampard to get sixth place in his first season as a Premier League manager with a transfer ban and a team of youngsters, that would be very impressive.
I don't know if I think it would be impressive for Frank. I think it depends
what happens with the teams below.
So what do you think is a reasonable expectation for him in this first year?
Eighth to sixth. Like,
yeah, I would say eighth.
If he got eighth, I'd be like, sure. In all honesty, I'd be like, that's fine.
I'd say reasonable expectation, like, eighth to fifth. And I would expect sixth.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. I'd
expect them to finish above Wolves and West Ham. I think even with the additions that Wolves and West Ham have made,
Everton might surprise you. Like, that's kind of the one in my head. Like,
yeah, though I think Everton, the squads are better at West Ham and Wolves, and like, and it, I don't know. I still look at Chelsea and I think Rudiger, Azpilicueta, Kante. This is a good squad.
The issue, like, is that I kind of see that maybe we get back. Yeah, but I don't think that's gonna happen. I don't think he wants to come back.
But even then, you know, like Pulisic, Hudson-Odoi, Tammy is like a functional like Premier League attack.
Ruben Loftus-Cheek behind him, like.
So he was out of the, well, I say newcomers, they've actually all been at Chelsea for years, probably since they're about six. Which one are you most looking forward to seeing in the first team?
Oh, does this count Pulisic as well?
No.
Okay.
The Chelsea schoolboy.
So, Hudson-Odoi, but like, maybe because I've had a taste of him already, is someone I'm very excited
little
to come
tease
back
of him.
Yeah, like, because even when
you're only going to get half a season.
No, he'll be. He's already training, but he's fine. He's training now.
So
he's,
what? They thought right. They said Bellerin might be back.
He'll be all
right. Pre-season.
It's a very good question. Loftus-Cheek and Hudson-Odoi were two players who were starting to show just before the injuries that they are like.
I'm ruling out Loftus-Cheek. You can't pick him.
Really?
Yeah, he's not a youngster anymore. He's
23 and he's 24.
Yeah, Jesus. I'm talking about like the Mason Mounts.
Sure, Mason Mount is interesting, but Tammy. I just don't know. Tammy Abraham is a weird one, right? Like, he can be.
He was so good for Bristol.
For Bristol and Aston Villa, to be honest. He is a sick box finisher in the box, like,
he
poacher.
He was pretty decent
he's
for
quality
Swansea as well when he played. You know?
I do think, like, with Hudson-Odoi in the wing, with Pulisic on the other wing, Ruben Loftus-Cheek behind him, I don't see him not getting into double figures. Like, that'd be so surprising.
I would happily take a bet with somebody on Tammy Abraham. Like, I would happily bet on Tammy Abraham to get
15, 14.
I'd say that would probably be the over-under around 13 to 15, somewhere in there. Like, I'd probably take the over
and
on
that's
13.
Like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, that's absolutely fine. Like, okay, he's not going to be a Diego Costa, but he's not been in the Premier League apart from one season at a club that got relegated. Yes. Like, here, he's going to have so many opportunities to score. Like, he's got... The
someone's
issue,
got to take
right,
pens.
Is that, like... The issue is we've got Olivier Giroud, who Frank, that'd be fantastic.
That would be so good. I also really like having more people in the Premier League who we only refer to as their first names.
Yeah,
Frank,
Jody,
Pep.
Jenny Morris is probably.
We have Pep. Why don't we all call Jurgen? That'd be great.
Yeah, it's a weird word to say.
Because Pep and Klopp.
I also like Jack. Is obviously Jack Wilshere, and also Ross. Why do people call Ross Barkley just Ross?
But people do. I've never called Barkley Ross.
A lot of people do. You're not a big talker.
As Pulisic, they call him Dave.
One of the most stupidest things ever.
Not actually his first name, but I do quite like calling
him. I'm glad we're getting Frank.
Super
back.
Frank.
Yeah.
We're hiring all the old boys. Joss are the boys still. But like, Czech's come back Jody Morris is someone who is very interesting. Like, he's worked with these players. Like, he's worked with Tammy Abraham since he was 13 years old.
Yeah,
that was
I stand by it. We've spoken about this before, though. Jody Morris is the reason behind Frank Lampard doing well at Derby, to be honest. I think he could be considered considered for the role as first team manager anyway.
Jeez.
And
that
so,
is a big jump, though. Like, that is to not manage anyone.
But he has managed.
If it weren't for the fact that Frank is Frank, it would be no more out of the box.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He's really? Got more managerial experience than Frank Lampard.
But this happens at
one season's
name me another time a top six side has hired their
name
youth
coach. Me another time when a top six side has had a transfer ban without a manager to come in.
Other clubs do it around Europe all the time. Other clubs do it around Europe all the time.
Premier League,
Guardiola.
But Eric Ten Hag, Pep Guardiola. Yeah. Like, these are reserve team coaches.
Past 10 years in the Premier League.
I just think if Chelsea had a
I do
transfer
mean, yeah,
ban,
sure.
he and Jody Morris is still the under-21s coach.
Sure, yeah.
And Chelsea under-21s were so dominant under Morris.
Giggsy.
So I do think there would have been a shout for Jody Morris as first team coach.
I agree.
Last option.
In the 90s, he'd have got the job.
So I think him and Frank Lampard together is quite mean. good option.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's like essentially. It's
so
like,
you don't really have essentially, faith in Frank.
Essentially,
you have
faith it's
like in he knows a guy who is good at management.
It's hard though, right? Because this is the issue that we keep saying, is that Frank's only had one season. We don't know what he is like properly as a manager. Like, we haven't seen him long enough to be able to.
But that
like,
means Chelsea also don't know what he's like.
Indeed, like this is
Frank Lampard same... doesn't even know.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. I bet he thinks he's good.
Yeah,
I bet he thinks he's great.
That's all you
bottom
need.
Line, Chelsea, I'm begging you to do well.
Blue is the colour.
Football is the game.
And on to the headlines. And our first headline this week is that Manchester United have reached a £50 million agreement with Crystal Palace for Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Ugh. Good move.
Patrick, what are your thoughts?
Ugh. I hate that Man United are getting
it. You love him. You really do like
him. He's so good.
And 50 mil's like, cheap, you know.
50 mil for a homegrown 21-year-old. Top quality defensive fullback who is right now a top quality defensive fullback, but he was like fifth in Europe, I found, among like under 25 year old fullbacks for dribbles as well.
Yeah,
like, and he's creating a chance a game. Like, that's at a Palace side, which is not like an attacking whirlwind. Like, yeah. So you imagine that will go up at United, but what he just solves the right side of their defense for a bit. And when I say a bit, I mean like a decade, like if they can keep hold of him. And like, I love it. Like, he'll get paid. The only downside is maybe if he'd held on, he could have potentially gone to a club which is not trying to rebuild.
Isn't a project, yeah.
Yeah, though then again, if City go and get Cancelo, then I'd be like, where am I going to go, realistically?
Yeah. So,
like, Barca, Atleti.
At Crystal Palace, he was the lowest paid player.
This is mental.
Team.
I read this earlier in transfer.
Yeah, but he's a kid. He only just came out
the academy. He was on 10K.
Imagine sitting there and thinking you're about to get a...
He's 70k a week pay rise, thank you.
No worries, mate, no worries.
I'd still be like,
that's mad.
Teamwork, transfer talk.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the first month he's at Man United, he's going to
go and check transfer
mental.
Talk out on YouTube.
He's going to be, yeah, he's going to be like Deliveroo every night, Deliveroo. Like, I'm going to buy a car.
Uber.
Yeah, he'll be like, oh, what's on the sales? You know, all
the
adverts.
You won't be looking at the sales.
All the adverts you get on Instagram, what? You know, where it's just like, oh, there's like, oh,
get
this
free,
shop that
free
you
tractor.
Like. Like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll get his tractor. He'll get that bed, you know, like the Hypnos bed where they all nice. Sleep in their kits.
He's going to be good, man. Bless him. Like, he must be actually so happy as well. Like, he's from his interviews, he seems like this is a quite a level-headed kid as well.
He's sick.
Kid, he's my age.
He's sick. I actually think...
wouldn't call myself a kid either, so...
I think the fullbacks who are going this summer are actually going at like a really reasonable rate. Like, Cancelo might go for about 60. I think that's reasonable. Good, like, Wan-Bissaka for 50. Kieran Tierney potentially for 25. Like, these are super reasonable prices, I think, for the quality of fullback that they are.
Right, on to our next headline.
Okay.
Are you hiding it?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hiding it with her tiny hand.
What has Mahrez had to pay for £3,600?
Oh, he owed his cleaning lady. He owed somebody who works for him like a bunch of money.
Yeah,
I didn't know he had kids.
Wasn't born in Algeria though, was he? So not like the proper Algerians.
Cheapskate.
Nah, that's mad.
What percent Algerian are you, Zach?
Me, 50.
According to
my DNA, well, apparently my major one is Italian.
Yeah.
So I'm actually Paolo Maldini, not Zinedine Zidane.
That's what happens.
That's what we've all learned.
That's how DNA works, yeah.
Yeah, which is nuts, man. I mean, that's...
Right, on to our next headline. What did Georgia Stanway tweet about this week?
Oh, I've read it. I retweeted it.
Oh, yeah. She said she tweeted at Glastow.
Oh, that was
she
it.
And said, my brother's going to be there. Can you show our... Is it quarterfinal?
Quarterfinal, yeah.
Mate, the Lionesses.
And they're going to.
The Lionesses.
Yeah, Glastow retweeted back saying they're going to...
Yeah, they're
well done,
show
Glastow,
it so
her
little
That's
brother
great,
can see it.
Mate,
isn't that cute?
The Lionesses are absolutely killing it right now.
Yeah.
It's so good to see. It's
sick. Can we talk about Marta's bold lip?
If you want,
like, because it's really weird that I've seen like people being like, why are they wearing makeup at the Women's World Cup? It's just like, do they think that the men don't?
Yeah,
like, I want to introduce them to Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, ridiculous.
And also, it's just like, what counts as makeup? Like, just moisturizer? Because like, you've got to put moisturizer on before you go out. Your hair gel, like, what's the difference? Like,
I
don't know. Yeah, there's been weird talk about women wearing makeup at the World Cup, but Marta the other day was wearing an extremely bold red lipstick.
That.
And she had a game face on, and she looked like a killer. I was into it. She looked sick.
This tournament's been fantastic. It really has. Like, it's proper.
Too many pens for my liking. VAR.
Sure, but VAR
has gone. VAR has gone out.
If people think VAR is going to be mental, this one, like, wait till the Premier League starts. Like, oh my god!
The
first 2 months, corners. If you get a corner, you get a penalty.
Yeah, because it's just like if it hits a hand,
it is different though. Because they were saying for the VAR. For the men's tournaments and the Premier League, the men's referees and obviously like all the officials get training on it and have gone to other tournaments with VAR in use.
Okay. Yeah.
Whereas the majority of stadiums or wherever women's football is played, that isn't not a possibility.
And to be honest,
there's
as well,
not enough the money in women's football.
Yeah, exactly.
So a lot of these referees have never worked with it before, and then obviously it's on the biggest stage at the biggest tournament there's ever been in women's football.
But there has been a change of rule,
with
the handball.
That's been a bigger thing as well. Like, these people, because this is the first time it's actually properly been in place with VAR there. So, of course, you're going to see, it takes time. We saw in the last World Cup when VAR happened, there were more penalties because of people not being used to certain rules.
Yeah, the handball rule is out of control, though. Like, they've basically taken intentionality out of it, right?
It
doesn't matter if it was intentional or not, but now it's basically, if it touches a hand, it's a pen.
I understand, because it's all about consistency, right? Like,
yeah, but there
you
must
want fairness
be a rule,
in the game.
But that's not... But the handball rule was initially
taking ball to hand away is annoying,
to separate football from rugby.
Yeah.
So people didn't pick the ball up and run with it. Like, it's not so if the ball bounces up and hits you on the arm. And sometimes the ball bounces up, hits you on the arm, and it's actually a problem for you. Like, it goes to an opposition player or something. But a penalty will still be given. And it's just like, really? Is this what we have to do now?
I do think they'll bring back ball to hand eventually. Because it's just mental if they don't.
But
that's ridiculous.
But the only alternative is that they create an alternative to the penalty. Like, because
make it indirect.
Well, because right now, you have situations where,
But then it'll
there's
be
no
like
danger. There's
right?
no danger of a goal at all. Nothing dangerous is happening, but the ball takes a weird bounce and hits somebody on the arm, and they're like, "Okay, well now you have an 80% chance of scoring."
All this kind of stuff comes in. Like, so say that does happen, right? And they do try and create a new way. So it's like, okay, depending on which way the ball was going, if it was going at the goal before it hit your hand, then it's like, okay, that's a penalty. If it wasn't. Because then it's just, again, it's all about intention.
I used to think that a good way to do it though would be advantage, as in do you get an advantage to the way the border, because referees are already asked to determine advantage with playing on. But I don't know if there's a reasonable way to do that. There are lots of situations where advantage is hard to tell without playing on for a bit. But it does just seem to me generally speaking, as football fans, it does seem like we all have some sort of common idea of what a handball is and what it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I think it shouldn't be that hard to codify that, in the rules.
Yeah.
There must be a version.
It's when it's
of
on
it
the biggest stage,
sense.
Right? It's when it's on the biggest stage. That's when it gets even more highlighted.
But let's move on to the next headline.
Don't want pens every game, man. They should be rare.
So, Patrick.
Yeah.
Torreira set to leave the Emirates. How would you feel like that? How would you feel about that?
I would not like him to leave because he was the rare good signing Arsenal have made in the last few years. He's the right age. He's a good defensive midfielder.
Isn't the fee laughable?
Well, it looks like it would be. I don't know. I think Arsenal would want 50 mil plus, given that they paid about 26. Mm. That's the thing. If the money is crazy, I'm fine with it.
What would you say is crazy money for him?
75.
Certainly above 60. Given that we paid 26, but I'd be
and it's
been
one year.
If you get 60, then you're you could probably turn around 40 for another player somewhat like him and spend 20 on someone else. And I think that for a club like Arsenal in the financial straits they're in is kind of okay. But I just don't necessarily trust Arsenal to go out and recruit another player like him. So overall, I'd want to keep him. But my feeling about it is the same as my feeling about the entire squad, which is that if somebody makes a big enough bid, I will sell.
Yeah,
A club like Arsenal.
Any player?
Yes.
Any Arsenal player?
I'd probably keep Guendouzi.
But even again, if someone bids 50 mil for Guendouzi,
I love Alex Iwobi, but if someone makes 50 mil bid, do I take it? I would think about it at 45. Mm. I'd think about it at 45 plus. I think. I just think that when you're a club in the position that Arsenal are in, you've got to say, okay, what is an obscene amount for us to get for this player? And maybe we take it. But I'd rather, to be honest, actually, before I sold Torreira, I'd sell, say, Lacazette. I really would. I don't want him to, but because of the ages and because of having Aubameyang, I would.
But Aubameyang's old.
Sure, but Aubameyang, I think, will age reasonably well. Like, he's still very fast. Like, yeah, even if he loses maybe a step, he'll still be pretty quick. His movements are excellent. We just create more chances with him in the side. And he's, like, we don't have a lot of pace around the squad. So, I mean, from my point of view, I would sell other people before Torreira. And it doesn't look like Milan's offer. No one's going to come in and offer 90 mil for Lucas Torreira. They're just not.
Yet.
Like, they're not going to offer 75 mil for Lucas Torreira. So, if you really need money, drum up a bidder for, like, Lacazette or Aubameyang. And that's the better way to do it.
Okay.
Or even Bellerin. I wouldn't want him to leave. But Bellerin
is
the
sort...
Yeah, but
he's injured. No one's going to
But also, he's the
window.
Sort of guy you could imagine, like, someone paying crazy money. Like, Barcelona would have paid 60 for him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That would not have been... Like, say this summer, you could have sold him for 60.
Yeah, but you're getting
got,
that
like,
excellent Instagram content at the same time.
That's true, but say you could have sold him for 60.
He won't
like,
leave.
For
he
50.
Loves Shoreditch too much. Yeah. He loves Shoreditch too much.
And on to our
the best
last
time
topic.
Of the podcast.
Yeah. Anything but football. Okay. I've got two options. Oh. Pretty sure which one you're going to pick. First one is the cricket. England were beaten by the Aussies.
Were they now?
I don't
I mean,
mind cricket,
neither
but
of
I just
you
can't.
Cricket
like,
fans, are you?
I don't mind cricket. It. I can watch it. I can play it. I just don't care enough.
It's
about
rubbish.
It.
I really enjoy watching it.
It's not a sport.
I like watching it live. I like watching it live. I'm not the biggest fan of watching it on TV. Like background. That's what it is. It's background.
No, it's not. That is so offensive.
It's so boring.
That
background.
Is so bad. It's
so
absolutely
TV.
Not background.
You look at the sport.
What is actually? What is for both of you? What is your favorite sport to watch that isn't football?
I enjoy tennis. I enjoy rugby.
I only really like international rugby though.
Yeah,
I won't. Watch, I will not watch club rugby.
I'll watch,
I will,
like,
I
watch
not
the,
watch,
watch,
the,
like,
rugby.
I watch like the top, like when it's Exeter versus like the finals.
Quite like athletics when
tennis,
like,
tennis, yeah,
Wimbledon.
No rugby,
tennis,
rugby.
Like the sport, inevitably the sports you're good at. Like I was never good at football. I was good at tennis. And I was good at rugby. So
do
like,
you
rugby,
like
tennis.
Watching football?
Yeah,
of the right game.
I used to watch a lot of rugby, but like I only really want to watch international rugby now. And but tennis I'll watch.
Right, so I'm assuming we're then going to pick my second option.
Here we go.
Which is all things TV series. Next Ooh. Week is the start of Strange Things series 3. Series 3.
Whatever.
Black Mirror has been back. Oh. Killing Eve has come back.
Oh. I mean, I
Big Little Lies has come back.
Oh, it had a bad first episode. Oh, it was bad.
But yeah, what is your favorite ever? TV
favorite
series.
Ever.
Or like,
ever.
Well, like, what's up there?
So I'm actually watching The American Office right now.
Oh, so good.
It's honestly.
I've never seen an episode.
Oh
really?
My God, Pat.
Do you like the UK
Do you like
office?
The UK one?
I do.
You'll love the American one.
It is good.
Seriously. I was
the
like,
UK
there's
one is
too
better.
Much of it.
So I had people tell me. I had people tell me. That's what I thought.
I can't watch like.
But I had people tell me like.
10 seasons of it
no,
or whatever.
But you don't. You just watch it over time. Like I had people tell me like, oh, you're, you know, the American one is better than the British one. Before watching the American one, I was like, oh, it can never be better than the British one. Oh my God.
It's just
oh,
a different sort of.
It
it's just
oh
a different
God.
Sort of show, isn't it?
Michael Scott and Dwight Schrute are ridiculous. They're so like there are
Michael
scenes
Scott
in there.
Is just
but
so
you,
good.
But you'll watch Friends for pleasure.
Yeah, but I'll watch Thingy for
I
comedy.
I like Friends too.
Like,
no,
honestly,
it's not good. Though.
Honest, I can't put into words. Like there are moments in the series, like so many times, I'm just thinking, I don't know how they've kept straight faces, or they must have done so many takes.
The cast
this.
Is
Michael
ridiculous.
Scott
and
is
the
so
best
funny.
Thing is, the best
the
thing as well.
On so
yeah,
much
yeah.
success.
But the best thing as well to do is like look in the background when like someone's made a joke, and then see who's like trying to keep it together. Because most of the time, you'll spot one or two people who are like barely like about to laugh. It's so good, honestly. Right. And the storylines are very good.
All right, take your word for it.
But I'm a big fan of many series. So.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Name another
series.
Black Mirror.
I haven't watched any of these episodes. How's Miley Cyrus?
Okay,
I haven't seen that episode
so
yet.
Have you seen
no
the...
spoiler?
Okay, well, it's okay.
No spoilers.
So
I've got a strict rule against
rank
spoilers.
This is the thing though. When people say they love Black Mirror. In a way, I don't.
I like certain
because
I like,
feel like
so different.
I feel like over half of Black Mirror is not good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the whole.
I watched one and decided I didn't like any of it.
Last
and then that
was
an error.
There are some episodes that are amazing. The best episode they ever did was the entire history of you in season one, which is unbelievable.
What's the series where it's the two lesbian girls?
San Junipero. So
that was overrated.
That
people said that was
no.
Fantastic.
That was a great episode.
That was overrated.
And so it was Hang the DJ. In last
Hang the
season.
DJ is good.
Those are the kind of upbeat, optimistic episodes. But last season was hit and miss as well. Like I don't know. It's just always the way it is.
But you're it's
going
like, to be
oh.
right because as Liv said, they're completely different episodes. They're completely different episodes.
Yeah, but as a result, I always think I like that it exists, but now it's always just like
it is
I
a bit
like
over.
It, you have
oh,
to...
what if your iPad made you? What if iPad bad? Like that's like literally every episode. It's just like. What if your phone had an app that made you sad? Made you want to have sex with your friend?
I think it's something that you have to watch after being recommended a certain episode.
Yeah.
If I just go onto Netflix and just pick one, it's going
to
be rubbish.
I could give you a list of five, and if you watch those, you don't need to watch any of the others.
Yeah, okay, that'd be great, because I've actually only watched a few.
That's so good.
I'm more of a Mad Men fan.
But the ones which, like, honestly, there have been times afterwards I'm like, jeez, I've never touched my phone again. Touch it 5 minutes later, but still.
What if I thought that one was rubbish when they had to rate you.
Oh, that was so bad. Deadwood is amazing.
The
Wire's really good.
Never watched that.
Comedies, The Thick of It is incredible. Peep Show had like four incredible seasons.
The other day, actually, weren't we?
Peep Show's first four seasons are good. It gets a bit iffy after that.
Yeah, after the wedding, it goes downhill. Though there is the Christian Rock Festival episode, which has the Crystal Skulls in it, and it is tremendous.
That always just reminds me of Jurgen Klopp, though, because that's what you say about him all the time.
What, the Christian Grandeur? Yeah. Oh no, that's George's. But it's so accurate. Where he's just like, he's like a friendly youth pastor. Where he's like, hey kids, sex is cool, but you know what's cooler? Jesus. Like, shut up, Jurgen. But. I don't know. What else
I'm
is
going,
good?
I'm just going on to my Netflix now.
What else is good? The OC season one. Incredible.
When They See
Buffy
Us.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I've only watched a few episodes of When They See Us. That is good.
What else did they remake?
Any murder mystery one, which I've never heard of the murders, and then I find out Charles Manson is a madman.
Yeah, he's a madman.
You didn't know about Charles Manson?
What a jump. Pretty Little Liars.
Nah, fam.
I can't believe you're such a big fan of Pretty Little Liars.
Oh my god!
Is it just the theme tune?
Is it just that hot girl?
Me and a girl were talking, and like she and so we were watching. Like she got me. Like she was like, "Oh, watch this," and then.
Nice.
And then so I was like, okay, sure, whatever. And then I got into it.
And then Pretty Little Liars outdated the girl.
Yeah, literally that.
Oh, yeah, but that's true.
And I was like, most of the time. I was hooked. I mean,
Gossip Girl did that with me.
Oh, I loved Gossip Girl.
Again, though, one good season.
No, they're all good. And there's like
be serious.
20 episodes a season, and there's about 47 seasons. So you can just like
it's mental.
Put it on.
How
for, like,
to Get Away with Murder.
Days.
Oh, shut up.
I keep saying it, but I also love
Viola Davis.
Have either of you watched Mad Men?
I'm like three episodes in, but Emma and I have just never got around to sitting down to it.
It is so good.
Breaking Bad's quite good.
Breaking Bad is
Mindhunter.
You should watch Mad Men. I think you'd really like it.
Brilliant. We've got it on the docket.
It's really clever how it follows actual events in life.
Fleabag is amazing.
Yeah.
Catastrophe was amazing. That's finished now. And Killing Eve is great. Like the last season was amazing. This new season is really, really good. It's really good. It's just genuinely like, I mean, there are bits of it that are a bit on the nose this season, but it is doing genuinely quite like revolutionary stuff.
I've got one with
you. Put your phone on Do Not Disturb. You're as bad as Joe. Joe sits there on Sunday night and his phone goes, Hamill's phone will just go during a shooting. They'll be like, oh, my bad, that's my phone. Pick it up and look at it and puts it down without putting it on silent again. I'm like, what are you doing, you f***ing? Turn your phone off. It's not that hard.
Right. I've got one series that's got... Oh, my God, Liv. No way. You did that on purpose. You must have.
Long?
You did that, yeah. I knew it. No way. That was good. That was actually quite a good joke. One final series that I know you'll love, Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty is so good. I read a 20,000 word piece of criticism on the Pickle Rick episode. And there's a film critic does this. And I was just like, is this a bit much? Then I rewatched it and I was like, this episode is amazing. Like, it's genuinely amazing. Like, it presents ideas while being fun.
Have you ever seen it, Liv?
No.
So,
it's genuinely remarkable.
So the first episode you ever watch, you'll be like, what is this? But once you
I hated the first episode.
Yeah,
like,
same. And I didn't watch it again. And I was like, screw it, I'll give it another go. And I watched the episode, I was like, this is amazing.
They write this stuff whilst drunk.
They write this stuff. There's a whole episode where the entire cast, like, most of it is improv, all of them are drunk.
Wow.
And they just go for it.
What was the... Oh, what? The intergalactic cable one?
Yeah.
It's so good. And like, it's, you might not like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know if you would.
But there are episodes of it that are so clever and so funny and so dumb. Like, it's just really...
If you wanted to like great. Just sit down, relax and watch something that'll make you laugh, Rick and Morty is
No, but you do need to get into it a bit.
Yeah, yeah. But you would.
It's
you
one
would
of those shows like
it.
Archer. Like, if you just watch an episode, you're like, what's this? And then after you've watched like six seasons of it, you know all the in jokes and you're kind of like, Rick and Morty isn't as in jokey as that, but for some reason,
there's not been
like,
as many series.
It took like 3 episodes, and then I was just like, ugh. And I stopped and started and stopped and started. Same. And it was like Breaking Bad, actually. And then after about 5 episodes, I was like, this is great.
I'm quite surprised you managed to get through that chat without, what's it called? Game of Thrones.
Oh. I never
coming
watched
up,
it.
It's not that great.
There we go.
It's fine.
I think
totally
that is
fine.
Probably enough before our Anything But Football section outweighs our all of our football sections. But thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week because we're a little bit more organised now than we have been. But thanks for coming, Patrick and Zach.
You're welcome.
No worries, mate.
America's Next Top Model.
Excellent shout.